session number 220 87, rule 3.
Corporal Weldon, rule 3. I think you were saying that after about a week you moved on from Worley, and then you
and then that was a long train journey on the Bengal Nagpur Railway, and to go to Cuttack in Orissa. Mm. On the way, there was a cyclone, and we were stopped at a place called Kharagpur. We didn't know why or anything. Mm. We thought it was insurgent problems and one thing or another. Anyway, it turned out that the cyclone had weakened a bridge, and there was nothing, no rail traffic to go over. So they sent two RAF regiment blokes on a light engine, that's an engine with nothing behind it, to reconnaissance this line to see what the problem was. And they come back and they said, right, the bridge is out. And then they made some more arrangements, and we was helping to clear up, because it was a terrible, all trees was all down, roads blocked, and we was helping the people that lived there. It was a railway cantonment, and Anglo-Indians and engineers and what have you, they were ever so pleased with our help.
And I think how many of you were there in your party?
Well, there was a coach load. There'd be how many do you get in a railway coach?
Well, it depends on the size of the coach.
Just an ordinary old coach. Well, it's about 25, 30, rough, you know, as far as I can remember. And of course we'd run out of rations, but there was a radio station, an RAF radio station, on a hill just outside. Well, they provided us with some food to keep us going, you know, bully and biscuits and what have you. And eventually they'd organised it. There was a troop train coming the other way, and he stopped at the other side of the bad bridge, and we stopped at this side of the bad bridge. We got out on the left-hand side of our train and walked across the bridge. They got outside on the left of their train and walked across the bridge, and we passed one another, and then off we went. And the funny part of it was, there was Big Black John come wandering, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And he'd been with us in Scampton, but he'd left on a previous draft. It was funny, wasn't that?
Strange coincidence, see him again.
It was, wasn't it? Mm. Yeah, and then off we went then, and we get to Cuttack in Orissa. Mm. Then we had to start putting tents up.
Mm. Who was in charge of your party when you were on the train? Was there an officer there, or was it a sergeant?
We had a sergeant and an officer. We had, one time we had an officer, and he was a bit naive, you know, he didn't realise the goings on, you know, because when he wanted a drink of tea, we used to put a quarter of tea in a petrol tin with some wire on it and go up to the engine driver, "Got him, Pony Low!" And he used to, hot water from the boiler, used to go in and mash the tea, you see. Then you'd make your way back to your coach. Well, it might be miles away from the engine, and the engine would start up. They wouldn't wait for you. They used to start up. Well, you had a 4-gallon tin of boiling water in your hand. No native was going to stand in your way when you wanted to get on.
You get on the train.
You used to be on the train. And then at the next stop, this officer in the meantime says, "Where's he gone? He's gone, he's deserted." Couldn't believe it. And they said, "It's no good deserting. If you get away from this railway line, you're starved to death. There's nothing, you know." Mm. Anyway, eventually you'd get, the train had stopped, and you'd get back to your own and put a tin of carnation milk in and about half a pound of sugar and a drop of Sergeant Major Sab's tea, really good, you know, and a cup of tea.
You were saying that when you stopped at Kharagpur, you thought perhaps it might be because of internal security trouble.
Yeah.
Was there a threat of that you knew about when you were in Bombay?
Yes.
It was
mostly out when we got out to the east of India. That was when it was most noticeable. They used to light fires and these players would be in a line pointing to the airfield, you know, for the Japs' benefit, supposed to be, but our Air Force, and not at that particular time in 1943, I think there was sort of gaffer of them, and they'd got them shoved to one side, you know. I mean, I remember Squadron Leader Lilly, he was a CO of 353 Squadron, he said, well, we don't need any ACAC. He says, as far as I know, now the Japs out of range, he says, they'll never come, we'll never be bothered with them strafing, he says. So, any job you lads want to do, we said, instead of being under guns, have a change. Which was rather nice, actually. I says, oh, I'd like to learn to drive. I couldn't drive later then. So I spent some time learning to drive, and the bloke was teaching me was a kid called Curtis from Beverley, and I think I'd taught him to drive. We used to crunch the gears a bit until we got out the camp, and then he used to read the comic now to drive. It was a 6x6 Studebaker, you know, American, going fetching the rations. Happy days. He was a lovely man, though, was Squadron Leader Lilly. He was a real gentleman, yeah.
Was he a regular?
Yeah.
RAF man?
Yeah. And it was amazing what they did, these aircrew. I mean, he was the CO, but he used to fly. And when we was doing a crash guard, he used to fly every morning to see if it was all right. It was miles away, like. And he used his own parachute to drop the supplies. It was before supply dropping days, you know. Oh, yeah.
Looked after you?
Oh, yeah, he was like a father to us, you know. I mean, I was only young and, like, you know. I've got some photographs of the camp at Cutter. I mean, when it Christmas Day, it was all done up like Wild West Saloon. Proprietor, Lanky Lil, Squadron Leader Lily. And the swore man, he was wanted for murder and all that, you know. That was Christmas 43, isn't it? No, 42, I mean.
You said that you knew there was some internal security trouble. Did you have any training for riot drill or anything like that?
No, they always used to have riots round about January, Gandhi riots and that. I was lucky to miss out on them. Don't know why, but I never got caught in it. But when there was riots, your rifles were took off you. You didn't have that. You weren't allowed a rifle. You'd pickaxe handles, that's all you had, for riot control. There was no shooting or anything like that there. It was a bit odd, wasn't it? It could have got real nasty, you know.
And did you do any training for that, for
no.
Coping with riots?
No.
No. So when you got...
I think the army, they did, but we didn't.
You didn't?
No.
When you got to Cuttack, what sort of place was Cuttack?
It was a very barren place, you know. It was a big wide expanse for ideal for aircraft landing and that, you know. And they'd made it in a runway there, and there was nothing. We was started building tents, and there was even digging wells for water and all. It was real nothing there, just barren.
So you were setting up a new station, effectively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did you actually have to do in this process?
Oh, it was I was sorting out camouflage nets. That was one job you had to do. All these years, had a lot of coolies, you know, and I'd just in India, I didn't understand anyway. I'd listened, and a lot of Indian words and English words were very similar, you know. And you had to, if you was a bit sloppy and you didn't enforce your will, you couldn't do nothing with them. But if you had a bit of gumption about you and ordered them about a bit, you would no bother at all. They'd work, and you know. But if you didn't chase them, they wouldn't do nothing. It was really funny. Oh, yeah. And then we were putting tents up. And
What sort of size of tents were these? How many men would you get into a tent?
There was big ones for headquarters, you know, like marquee style. And then our tents, you'd get, you know, they called them 25 pounders or what, there was. You get four men in, you know, two to each side. Mm. It was in there, and then there was all these wild dogs. that pyards, they were a nuisance, so they said, all right, we'll have a shooting day. So, be practised, boys, he says, get your ten guns, we'll go shooting pyards. So off we went for a bit of shooting these dogs.
And when had you been introduced to the Sten gun? Because you haven't mentioned that before. You mentioned having a rifle at Scampton, you know, on patrol.
Yeah. On the Sten, we had...
when did you get that?
In India, I think.
Oh, right.
And we've maybe been trained on it at Scampton, and I forgot to mention it, you know. Mm. It was a funny gun, was that. It was at a 9mm, I think there was. Anyway, when the next 24 hours, there was no flying. They couldn't fly because all these dead dogs had attracted all the vultures. And stopped. No way could the aircraft take off. Come on, you lot. Get your sprays. You had to go and bury all these ruddy dogs.
So they didn't decide to shoot the vultures to get rid of that problem?
Oh, they were protected. You're not allowed to shoot a vulture.
Mm. But you were allowed to shoot the dogs?
Allowed to shoot the dogs, yeah. Mm. They were wild dogs, you know. Mm. During, on a night time, like, oh! And then you'd have all your tent flaps up and they'd come running through the tent, you know.
What sort of defence arrangement did you have at Cuttack?
Oh, it was all been sorted out as regards, I have a photograph anyway, of a gun position, and it was just as though it was a well, all bricked out, they'd got the natives to, and there's a book here, I'll show you, if I can find it.
And was there a perimeter and with a fence or anything of that
sort around it? The air raid warning was amazing.
Yes. Did you have a wire fence around cut out
around
the airfield?
No. Where then? Where's it gone? Hey, there he is. That's a gun pit at Cuttack.
Oh, I see, yes. Yeah. So how many men could you get into a pit like that? If you were
there's only room for one.
Only one man with the guns.
You see, the magazines aren't on the gun, they're
off. No, So, would that man have to actually fire guns and reload?
Yeah. But the way they fired it, he'd have plenty of time because they'd be gone before it. You know, you look through that hole there.
Yes.
And through there.
Through the wire sight.
Through that doings. And if he was going across, that... Between there and there was 300 mile an hour.
Yeah.
You know,
that was a deflection.
That's a deflection shooting. Mm. Yeah. That's his lordship when he come out. That's Mrs. Wade, who I was with at Boston.
I see. Oh, yes.
And that's Andy, who joined up with us. He's dead now.
Yes. Yeah.
This, I'd like to get to know about that. Now, that's the Armistice Parade in Saigon in 1945.
Yes.
And there was a film made, and I was right marker. Well, we were marching up, do the about turn to come back in front of General Leclerc, and there was a newsreel camera right again my, all the way down. And I never ever saw that newsreel. Wherever it went, I don't know.
But you were on the parade, so you'd be on the film.
There's me on there, look.
Yes, yeah.
And my mate Gordon, there. We're still in touch with one another. And that's Wing Commander Alan.
So you got these gumpets. How many of the gumpets were there around the airfield?
Only two or three, that was all.
Two or three. Mm-hmm. What sort of aircraft were they flying?
Lockheed Hudson's.
Hudson's. What were they doing? What was their role?
There was Coastal Command Reconnaissance, you know.
Did you have any enemy action while you were there?
None at all, no enemy action. Got malaria, finished up in hospital.
Yeah.
That was enough. I didn't know what was wrong, but I was bad, you know. I thought, bah, got the flu, you know. Mm. See the MO, malaria, down in the hospital. Cuttack Hospital, Indian. All Indian, you know. and there was one ward for blokes off the airfield, you know, Army, Air Force, or what have you. And there was French Sisters of Mercy. They didn't speak any English. Indian nurses, you know, and was well looked after. Mm-hmm. And then you got these doctor come round with his students, and do you mind if my students examine you? And they were asking all sorts of questions, you know, and what work did you do? And I says, oh no, I says, can't tell you. I says, in the Air Force. I should tell you what I did before I come in the Air Force. And because the Indians, they all thought you had servants, you know, in England. Mm. And they was gobsmacked when I said I used to get up and ride 3 miles on a bike to go to work. Hey? And it's servant. Couldn't believe it.
What, had you been taking precautions against malaria?
At that time we had mosquito nets which we used, and long sleeves and long trousers at night. Mm. But we hadn't gone on to the mepocrine then. Mm. And I don't know what they give us, I think quinine, but it was in short supply, they couldn't get it very well. Mm. I think the Japs had got all that stuff, you know. But they had if you was really ill, they'd give you a dose of quinine to sort of steady things up a bit. But I was told, and I've got, you know, that if you had malaria and you got pneumonia, that was your lot, because you treat one, it upsets the other. Mm. And I had a bit of a bad chest, and I was worried. But as luck happened, it didn't happen.
Were there other things you had to worry about in that part of India as health hazard? You mentioned that you had a lecture mentioning snakes earlier on.
There was them and scorpions. Mm. That was their funny things. I was going some trousers out the stores, and I opened the trousers out, and sat in the crutch was a scorpion. Look here, I wouldn't put my legs in. Hey.
I mean, were you given instruction in how to keep yourself healthy and fit in Indian conditions before you went out there, or on the boat on the way out?
No, you just did as you was told, you know. Mm. And you had to have salt.
Yes.
Salt tablets. Mm. And vitamin tablets, you know, to make up for the fruit you didn't get. Mm. And there was one, when it was at Cuttack, it was a very, very hot place, but never been out there, and we didn't realise how hot it was until we read in the paper that the Indians in the village was dying of heat stroke. Is that, no wonder it is hot, isn't it, you know? But it was really hot, it was. Bah, yeah.
What was the village like? Was there anything there?
Well, in the thing of interest in the village was it was the centre of the filigree silver industry, where very primitive, but they were very clever with making filigree silver. And you'd do your own design, like I made a design up. It was a pair of RAF wings with a mother underneath, all done in filigree Indian silver. Cost about 3 or 4 quid, I think, which was a lot of money, really. Still got them, they're upstairs. Poor old mother's gone, you know. There's a calendar on there, can you see it, that calendar?
Yes.
That round one?
Yes.
40 years calendar?
Yes.
That in 1943, I put to Chakarata, about 30 miles from Tibet. Huh? I was up there I was on the sick leave, you know. Mm.
Did you have a sort of standard routine working day at Cuttack?
Oh yeah, they had a proper routine. You used to get, they used to blow reveille on the bugle in the morning.
Mm. What time would that be?
6 o'clock time, you know. Mm. Then that was the best part of the day, between 6 and 11, you know. then it used to get unbearably hot. To the natives, they used to chuck it and they used to have siestas, but we never was allowed siestas, used to keep going.
How long were you actually on duty? Did you go on into the gun pit for a number of hours, or would you be there all day?
You'd be in there for about 2 hours and then he'd be relieved. And I remember Christmas 43, would it be? 43. The Gurkhas, they relieved us, because they have their Christmas a different in October. Mm. And they give us the day off. We had a lovely day, because Johnny Gurkha, he took over the gun part, you know.
Besides doing that, what other sort of duties were you doing, besides going in the gun pit?
Maybe garbage collecting, or, you know, you didn't find you a job. You always something to do. Then there was all your rifle drilling and all that. There was on parade, you know, and marching about, slope arms and all the rest of it. And proper Barrack Square touch, you know.
What about patrols? Did you have to do perimeter patrols as you've done at Stanton? Was that?
I don't remember doing any perimeter patrols.
Did you have a sort of stand to period, early morning and dusk?
Not at that time, we didn't. No. Not there. Not at Cusack.
One thing you mentioned was crash guards. Now, what were they?
Well, that was the aircraft crashed. It had got to be found. So what they did, there would be a navigator, a radio operator, a driver, a medical officer, and three gunners. That was those three. And they'd go out and find the aircraft. And then when once they found it, and the crew made sure they were all right, we'd be left behind with a tent and rations and what have you to guard the aircraft to stop anybody moving anything till the crash inspector had seen it. This particular aircraft was a Wellington, and he'd been out on a bombing raid, and his generator had failed. They'd bombed Rangoon and they was on the way back, and the torches had failed as well. They were sort of lost, and they were what you call doing a square search. Anyway, they said that there was no more fuel left, so they pulled the emergency, climbed up, and all bailed out. And there was one, I don't know, the second pilot. He was okay, he was in the village liquor shop. And his mates, the others, they'd been picked up by the army and took to hospital. And that's where I got that jungle saw. I finished up in hospital, and while I was in there, there was something happened. Our sister, she had me on some sweeping up, and she stood up, and there was a concrete staircase, and she bumped her head on this concrete one, and I bust out laughing, and I couldn't stop. And she was livid. And then there was some blocks further down there, because you were all in blue and red ties in hospital. It was in Cuttack, in Calcutta. She says, "You RAF lot, you're all the same." And these two blocks had pots on their legs. I thought, "Hey, yeah, a penny clicks here." So I went down to them later, "And you're RAF?" "Yeah, pilot." They were pilots, Sergeant Pilot Smith. I says, "Oh," I says, "did you go on a so-and-so?" I tell him all about this bomber and his running out with, you know, battery flat and all the rest of it and bailing out. He said, "Yeah, how did you know?" I says, "I was out looking for you too." I says, "but the army had got you." I says, "you know so-and-so, he was in the village." "I said, he would be, he's always on the booze, you know." So I says, "how come you broke your leg?" "Well," he says, "it was like this, I landed in this bush. And it's in the dark, you know." And he says, "as I stepped out the bush," he said, "it was only a bloody palm tree, wasn't it?"
A big four feather,
you know. But what a coincidence, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
Huh? How many of you were sent to guard the crashed aircraft?
Three. LAC Fitch, and Jimmy Britton and Joey Weldon.
How was it you got this jungle?
What, the sores?
Sore, yes.
What? It's an infection you get if you just have a scratch, you see. I mean, we went all... You couldn't get baths and that like you should do, you know. And dust, it's the, I think if you're going to an open, just a little scratch, and you get the dust and muck in, it goes festers. Mm. And it ran up the leg instead of... It tried and tried to get it with poultices, but it wouldn't work. So I had to go and have an operation on my thigh.
Were you short of water at Cuttack?
No, we weren't short because they dug wells, and they got all right there, you know. Mm. There was plenty of water there, but I mean, when you were on a crash guard, you had nothing really. We weren't allowed to have only. Well, it was that. Serious, they dropped us by parachute. I think it was 2 2-gallon tins of drinking water, and there was, well, here's the instructions that come down to tell us what to do as regards Dear Fitch. He was in charge. Yeah.
Dear Fitch, trust you are all fit and well and enjoying the experience. How long did you have to stay there before they relieved you?
Does it say around the bottom? They said, I think it was 4 or 5 days.
Yes. We'll be sent out Monday or Wednesday next. Most probably Monday. Yes.
Fitch put that on and sent it to me. So he says, you're more interested in hanging on to things than I am.
Yes.
Well, Jimmy Britton, this time last year, Jimmy died. Mm. We've been in touch with one another all that time, you know. Mm.
Did anything happen while you were on that guard? Did anyone try and approach the crash
deck? There was hundreds and hundreds of Indians.
Yes.
And it was like being at a football match. Mm. And they'd never seen anybody eat with a knife and fork. And they got that close that we could hardly, you know, move. I said, well, I'll shift them. So I put a round in the rifle and fired in the air, bang, and they didn't know what a rifle was. So picked a bit of stick up to put on the fire under the Dixie, you know, and the flint. So I go, yeah! And they all run away. And I said to them two other Abbots, I said, it's no good. I said, well, let's have a boundary. Well, the head man of the village had sent a chokidar, that's a policeman, to be with us to make sure we're all right. And this chokidar, he, straight away, boundary is the same in Bengali as it is in English. Boundary, 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 he goes, you know. So gets a stick, knocks it in, walks down, knocks another one in. You'd thought I'd put a brick wall up, put it square on, you know. So, oh, that's that problem solved. Next thing, a bloke comes along with a rally bike and umbrella, you know. I said, hello, there's somebody with some money here, you know. Well, good morning, sir. How are things with you? Oh, very well. Why are you not letting anybody touch the aeroplane? He said, these are very simple people. He says, they see the big bird in the sky, and they are wondering, has it got feathers on? And he says, they are wanting to touch. I says, oh. Well, I says, tell them, they can touch it, but not to move anything. Just failing, I said, that's all right, but don't move nothing. Oh, very good, sir, very good. Well, the next thing is about 4 or 5 real smashing young ladies comes on the scene in these gold saris and one thing another. Of course, there were his prodigies. It was from some college or somewhere, not so far away. And that thing goes up. I says, oh, and tomorrow, I said, we're getting a parachute to drop. Oh, very good. Yab, 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 tells them all, you know. And everything was happy. They all lined up, and there was no problem, you know. And it was real Gandhi country where we were. You could tell the Gandhi supporters, they all wore white hats. And was a sea of white hats, you know, but there was no nastiness whatsoever. there were